Hey y'all, welcome to video 6. This is our last video in our Poolside Encountering Jesus in the Waters of His Word series. First off, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much for choosing Poolside this summer. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life, a part of your journey these last several weeks. I really pray that Poolside has blessed you. And I do not take it for granted. In fact, I have prayed for you all along the way and will continue to be praying really that the voice of Jesus just cuts through the noise and it lands straight in your heart. I think about how, you know, in this world, we get so trained or so conditioned to live in the noise. We live with constant stimulation, constant distraction, the constant clicking and the scrolling through our phones or our computers or, you know, the stacking up of text and email and everything demanding our immediate attention that we often, one, don't even think we have time to be alone, and we even get afraid to be quiet. And I pray that with Poolside, you've realized, one, the benefits of getting alone and that you can get quiet with the Lord, and He does speak to your heart and He does quiet and still the noise and the fury and the worry and the stresses and all of that, that I pray that Poolside has just been this quiet retreat for you that has really fed you. You know, I think it's so important that we all have confidence that we not only hear the Lord, but that He hears and sees each and every one of us. You know, everyone longs to be heard. Everyone longs to be seen. And when we start to realize that God really hears us and He sees us and He speaks and He touches and He heals and all of that that Jesus did in the Bible, He's still doing that today, is such a beautiful gift, not only for yourself, but truly for your family. Because once you become transformed in your heart, the blessings just begin to overflow and you become this beautiful light of life, and you just never know who you're going to be a lighthouse for in your neighborhood, in your friends, in your family. You just never know. You know, the world that we're living in right now is really pushing us to constantly be distracted from Jesus, to live disconnected, because we realize that when we take time to get quiet with Jesus, there's, you know, we get so worried we're going to fail at that. I think that was one thing that, you know, people would ask me a lot. What if I can't hear? What if I don't hear? What if it's just not something, you know, what if I'm just going to fail at this? And the beauty is God hardwired you to connect with Him, so you can't fail. All you needed was a willing heart. And I hope that you've seen how He really does take full advantage of our willing hearts. And in this time when we start to seek Him in His Word and we seek to really dive into the Scriptures, how His Word can transform and bring revelation and insight and wisdom into areas of our life, into our thought patterns. I mean, it's just even amazing how God can change our thoughts that we never thought would ever change or even knew we needed to change, how God can just redirect those. And, you know, the narrative right now in the world is really don't risk and, you know, stay home, be risk averse, be afraid, be insecure, doubt. And, not that in the staying home, I'm not saying that, a lot of people are doing that out of safety, and I agree. But what I mean is sort of stay huddled in this place of worry and fear and anxiety. And, anytime you step into a relationship, there is this risk involved, but I hope through Poolside you've seen that you just only had to risk just a touch, which was risking letting go of insecurities. And you really were able to hear Jesus say, you know, step out with me. Come and step away from the worldly narrative and let me infuse you with confidence and boldness and truth so that you can then face the world. Instead of us, you know, being in reaction to the world, the Lord is wanting to fill us so that we can, yes, we're going to live in this world, but we are fueled by His Word, by His ways, by His voice. So we're not spinning. We're able to stand in full confidence and full assurance of who He is and who we are as His. you know, throughout all the encounters that we read about, that we studied, we saw how each and every person was so vastly different. Different genders, different religion, different ethnic groups, and each one of them had a very unique need. And every single miracle was so radical and amazing and loving. And I think that is such the beauty of Jesus, that we see that you know, Jesus not only performed physical miracles, but he performed these miracles of the heart as well. And you know, the conversation, the freedom, the transformation, the miracles, those do not stop at the last page in your Bible. God's story continues with you now. You have this opportunity to allow God to use you, to allow God to continue his story through you, and allow him to use you in your peer groups, in your neighborhoods, in your community. He wants to do those same works and wonders through you. And we have this very special place in his story, this very special part that he wants all of us to be in on. It's an all-access kingdom. It's an all-access invitation to come and join him. You know, I was thinking about last year at this time when I was planning on launching Poolside last summer, and it did not happen. And the main reason it didn't happen is I become very, very sick at the end of May and the beginning of June. It was a very unexpected trauma that I experienced. And I thought, wow, this summer, corporately, we are all experiencing unexpected trauma. We're experiencing events that were very unexpected and very traumatic, meaning bad things happening. And so there's this question in the situation that we're in right now is, how do we stop feeling like we're falling backwards? How do we stand in confidence? And what I wanted to share with you was just a little bit about what I learned last year when I faced being really ill. And quite honestly, I didn't know if I was going to be going home to Jesus or coming home to my family. It had gotten that bad. I had contracted what's called Marian typhus. I'd never heard of this before. There is like a 0.01% chance of ever getting it. It's only in specific areas in the world, Texas being one of them. And there's only one specific antibiotic that apparently kills this bacteria, but it's an intracellular bacteria. It is fatal if it goes undiagnosed, and it gets in your bloodstream through a flea that has had to have contact with a rat or a possum. And why am I telling you all this? Because I just want you to know how absolutely outlandish and far-fetched all this was to me. And how at first I thought it was the flu, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And other tests that we were running did not seem to ever indicate, you know, meningitis. We thought it was meningitis at one point, and nope, that's not what it was. But the minute I did become ill, I do remember that I immediately, just out of nowhere, had this incredibly high fever, about 103 fever. I began to feel really, I had an awful headache. And then just some other strange things begin to happen in my body. But my point is, when we're facing unexpected trauma, I remember the position that I took. See, our posture is always going to be so incredibly important, because when we're caught unaware, we often end up reacting and not responding. But when we've learned to build our spirit man, we will have this beautiful spiritual tool called response. Versus react. React would be like fear, oh my gosh, worry, stress, oh my gosh, you know, spinning. Whereas response makes me go, okay, God, I refuse to blame you. I refused to blame God. I refused to ask him why when I got sick. In fact, I did the opposite. I began to declare, God, I know you're good. God, I know that you love me. I also refused to doubt God. I have been in the healing ministry for 10 plus years. I have seen God do amazing things. I've seen people not get healed till they went to heaven. But I knew the one thing that I refused to do was doubt God. God, I know you're for me. I would just repeat this. I know that you love me. And God, I love you. Instead, every breath, every single day, as much as I could muster, I would say, I would thank him. I would thank him for being with me. I would thank him for how amazing he is. I mean, just whatever came to my mind, I just stood in that place of not blaming, not doubting, and using the weapon of gratitude throughout the entire time. I also had worship music playing around me. I just, I wanted to be in a very soothing atmosphere, and I knew that turning on the television was not going to be soothing to me. So I made sure that my phone was always playing worship music, you know, sort of next to my bed. And I would speak to my body and encourage it. I would say, you know, you got to be strong. You got to fight. And I would, and then I'd tell God out, I love you, Jesus, I love you. And, you know, by the time they admitted me, once I was admitted to the hospital overnight, then sent home because they said, well, it's probably just a virus. It's going to get better. Well, by the time I got to the hospital, you know, I was at 104, 105 fever. My circulation system was, the bacteria apparently eats away your blood vessels. So I had developed this rash, which was all my blood vessels breaking down. My liver was so inflamed and so toxic. I couldn't flush out any toxins in my body. So you can just imagine the situation I was in. And it was so dire. It was so, everything about me on the inside at this point was compromised, but I refused to let fear have my heart. That doesn't mean I didn't experience fear, because I did, but I refused to let fear take over the conversation. And I would just say out loud, God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I love you. And I would just repeat it over and over and over and over again, and just drowning out the voice of fear that's, you're going to die. You're not going to live. You're just going to die. And honestly, there also comes a point when you're just in so much pain that you're thinking, I don't even know how I could recover from this, honestly. And I just kept whispering, God, I know you're here with me. God, I know that you're here with me. And I remember we're in the emergency room that night, and it's dark. I'm laying there, and my husband is on the phone, I believe, and they tried to give me pain medication, but nothing was staying down because nothing was going to work, keep down at this point. I was so sick, and the worship, I had my little phone worship music going, and I remember this woman, I never saw her, but this woman came into the room. I just heard her voice, and she said, I'm just here to clean the room. And at that time, my husband was on the phone, and I don't remember her ever saying her name. And he got off the phone, and she said to him, you know, prayer changes everything. And he said, well, I know, we believe that. We've got people praying. I mean, we're believing that she's going to get healed. And she said, that I'm going to come into full agreement that she's going to be healed. And she left. And I remember in that moment in my spirit, man just stood up, and I thought, I think I'm going to be healed. Like, it was just that sign from God, of God sending that woman in, whether she was an angel or not, y'all, we don't know. My husband remembers her. He doesn't remember her name, but we remember what she said. And I think about that all the time, about how God in these unexpected traumatic circumstances will reveal himself. We just have to, one, refuse to doubt him, refuse to blame him. We have to stay in appreciation and gratitude and just declaring, God, I know you're with me. God, I know you're with me. You know, it got so bad that we brought my kids out. I asked, called for the kids to come out the next day. My kids are in college and high school, and I wanted to say a few things to them because we did not know. My liver was in really, really bad shape. And, you know, when you're at that point of not knowing what the next day holds, you don't really think about, I didn't think about all the things I hadn't done. I thought about the conversations I wanted to have. And there was one really important conversation I wanted to have with my kids. And so I just said, hey, kids, you got to promise me two things if I go to Jesus. One, that you're not going to be mad at God. Because I knew what, I had lived angry with God for 15 years after I'd lost my dad. And I knew how blinding anger is, how it really shuts our heart down from the Lord. And that was so important to me that they would not be angry at God, that they knew that he was not doing this, that we live in a fallen world and we have an adversary that wants to destroy life, joy, families. You know, we live in a fallen world, and we don't always talk about that in our Christian life, but it's so important to understand that this world that we live in is temporary, and it is fallen, and bad things do happen, and God is not up there choosing who they happen to or not. We don't know. We see in part, and we have this beautiful opportunity to trust him in a way that is not of this world, and it is a gift of faith, and God wants each and every one of us to have that gift. And I thought, you know, if I was going to leave this world, then I was going to go out praising God and blessing those around me. And I was not going to go quietly. I was going to go out full of praise and love. And I wanted the darkness to hear how much I loved Jesus. And you know, that's how we stand that's how we stand in this immovable in our position and our confidence that God is good, that Jesus wins, that no matter what our eyes see and our ears hear, that we will not stop declaring our love for the one who first loved us. You know, in times of danger and turmoil and pain, we get lured into fighting the circumstance when the real battle is the fight for our faith. And I knew that if I could hold on to my faith through all of that, no matter what, God was going to win. However, whatever the circumstances look like, whatever played out, if I could hold on to my faith, then God would win. See, there will be no greater fight. There will be no greater pursuit. There will be no greater victory than laying hold of the kingdom of God in our every day, in our every moment of life. And it requires us to declare with boldness what we have yet to see, but what we know him to be. In other words, it will require of us to declare out of our mouth what we're not seeing at the moment, but what we know God to be. God, I know you're the healer. God, I know you're for me. God, I know you love me. God, I know you gave Jesus for me. What, you know, declaring it, there's something powerful about declaring God's promises out of our mouth into the atmosphere. It not only raises our own faith because we hear it coming out of our mouth, but it encourages and ignites the faith of others around us. And it sets an atmosphere around us, an angelic atmosphere. It invites God's angels to be around us because angels flock to the promises of God. And when you're declaring the promises of God out of your mouth, the angels come and they camp around that. So, you know, y'all, this Wednesday, which is the day you're going to be, some of you may be watching this video, not sure, but the Lord's really put on my heart to start sort of a 40-day journey with him that I'm calling Cut Through the Noise. It's going to be a journey, and it's kind of in a way similar to what I learned last summer, but it's something I feel like the Lord's asking me to implement for the next 40 days now. And because we can't make the world get quiet, we can't make the demands of the world stop, but we can learn to make room for God to really cut through the noise. So as you're watching this and you're winding up poolside, I might encourage you to join me. And how I'm going to do this, though, I sat and sort of sat with the Lord and said, okay, Lord, how do you want me to do this 40 days of allowing you to cut through the noise? And so this is what I felt like God put on my heart. I felt like he said, I want you to start and I want you to end your day in scripture. So in other words, I'm going to bookend my day. I'm going to start in the morning, which I do, reading his word, but I'm going to end and before I go to bed. You know, whether even if I've watched a movie, before I turn out my light, I'm going to read the word of God. And a lot of people ask, where do I start? I always say, start where you're comfortable. And for a lot of people, that's the New Testament. Just start in the New Testament and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, you know, whatever he has on his heart for you that moment. I'm also going to be playing worship music in my house 24 hours. Now, it's so easy to do this with our phones or on your TV in Pandora, or on YouTube, however it is, or even, I mean, I even have an old CD player that I can put outside and play worship music, a disc. But I'm going to be playing worship music in my home 24 hours. And the reason I do that is, one, to set a heavenly atmosphere, to cut through the noise. There's lots of noise, and I want the heavenly sounds to be the loudest in our home. I'm also going to be setting the timer on my phone. When I wake up, I'm going to set my timer for every 2 hours to go off. And then I'm going to take 2 minutes just to praise and thank God. I'm just going to take 2 minutes to give gratitude and give thanks to God. We learned about the power of thanks and praise in Jesus' miracle of multiplication with the loaves and fishes. And we know it's a powerful weapon to stand in gratitude and thankfulness to God, even when we don't see anything. It wasn't that God did the miracle and then they thanked him. The miracle happened on the heels of the Thanksgiving. And so that's the other thing I'm going to be doing. And I'm going to be thanking him out loud. Again, why am I saying out loud? Because I want to be declaring it. It builds my faith to hear myself thanking God out loud. And it also sets an atmosphere around me. The other thing I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be journaling. there's some questions that I have on my heart right now, and I'm going to write those down at the beginning. And then I'm just going to be journaling every day. You know, there's a lot of questions in my heart that need clarity, and I really want to invite God to speak into those places. The other and the last thing I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be limiting my time on social media. It is such a time sucker, and it does seem to take us emotionally down so many various paths, and I often don't find it helpful. Now, it's very helpful when I'm doing things like Poolside and I'm putting encouragement out there. It is extremely helpful, and I love, love, love that about social media. But then I can also find that my time's just been hijacked because I've just sort of allowed myself to sort of scroll through things aimlessly. So I want to be a little bit more intentional about how and where I'm spending my time. So that's how I'm going to start my 40 days and what I'm going to be doing for the next 40 days when I'm going to be allowing God to cut through the noise. And I'll be curious to see how, if you all are joining me, how that might work for you. I think that could be a really interesting thing. I'll be posting maybe some insights and thoughts that I have along the way. So be looking for those. So right now, I want to close in James, the book of James, James 1, and I'm going to read out of chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Y'all, it has been such an honor to be with you, to have you join me in Poolside. I so love hearing from you all, the direct messages, the emails. Please, anytime, I want to hear more. It fills my heart to know how God is touching you. So I'd like to end this in prayer. But again, this isn't the end of a conversation. The conversation with you and God, that's the story that is just getting started for some of you. It's continuing for a lot of you, and it's just never ending. And that's the beauty, is this conversation is a conversation that we're going to be having, even if we haven't met face to face, we'll be having it one day face to face in heaven. So let's pray together and give thanks together. Lord, we just thank you so much. We thank you for the time that you have taught us to set aside to be with you. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would cut through the noise and that your words, your heart, your love, your kindness, your wisdom, your patience, your mercy would land straight in our hearts. I ask you, Father God, to equip each and every one of us that we would truly transform the world around us, that we would be such a bright light for you, God, that people would want to know, what is that about us? What is that? And we would get to answer with such joy, it's Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would equip us with the tools so that we could give others these tools to connect with you, to know you, and to love you. And Lord, I thank you that we are all in this place of really understanding what it means to be mature in our walk with the Lord. And Lord, I just release the gift of faith for anyone that has heard this, especially the testimony part, for anyone that has heard that and they said, I want that gift of faith, then Lord, I ask, would you release that gift of faith to every single person that is hearing this message, that we would be so captivated by your faith, that we would have such faith in your faith for every single thing that we are facing, that doubt, blame, insecurity, fear, and worry would be silenced, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Y'all, thanks so much. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege to be with you week after week. I thank you, and I look forward to connecting with you. And if you know anyone else that wants to do Poolside, you know where to find it, or any groups, I would love to connect with other groups that want to do Poolside. I have loved seeing groups of women and men getting together doing this. That's just been such a privilege and an honor. Take care, and I hope to hear from you soon. Thanks so much.